You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you very much. Hopefully this won't be too loud because I wear my heart on my sleeve, so I'm quite a passionate person at times. So if I do shout, it's not shouting as such. It's just passion coming through. I just love Jesus so much because I was once lost and now I'm found. Jesus, you know, he uses the foolish things of the world. He uses the foolish things of the world, and that's what allowed me to become a pastor down in the West Midlands of a church called Londonderry Baptist Church. Me and my wife have been there now, pastoring the church for just over a year and a half, and we took on a church of about 25 mature people, mature ladies that were the bedrock, praying for revival. And God put a dream in my heart for revival. And since the moment I found Christ, I've had to share him to everybody that I come in contact with. And we've seen our church over in the West Midlands just increase so significantly, probably 4 or 5 times the amount, and we've outgrown the building, and the children's work went from 6 children to about 50 children, and you can just imagine what's just happening. The Spirit of God is just moving in that place, and people will be walking past, and I pray that same grace on this place, that as people walk past, they are just drawn in. They don't understand why they're coming in. I had one young man, this is nothing to do with my talk. I had one young man just walk in, 18 years of age, ready to go and commit suicide. And then he gave his life to Jesus on the same day that he walked in. He gave his life to Christ. Now he's an evangelist. He's out preaching on the tubes. He goes down to London on the tube, sharing the gospel. He's a member of our church and he's on fire. He's about to take on the youth work come September. He's a young man on fire for Jesus, because when Christ gets hold of you and he truly gets hold of you, there must be transformation. There must be a change. You can't find Jesus and carry on living the way you used to live. There has to be a cutoff point. The old has gone and the new has come. So there's a fire in my belly, and that fire grows more and more every day. If ever there was a time in your life when you read the Bible more, when you were more on fire for God, when you desired him more, when you worship more, if there's ever a time when Jesus meant more to you than today, then I challenge you that you need reviving again. The psalmist said, "Oh, revive us again, O Lord." And so I want to come and share whatever comes out today, like literally, whatever comes out. I've come primarily to share my story and to hopefully fire up the troops. If you're on fire already, praise God. But let's intensify the inferno. Why not? I want to see fires going up and down this country. Up and down this country. So when I get invited to go and share at different places, I first hold it to God and say, "God, can I go?" And when he says yes, off I go. And if I go, not that I'm anybody special, I'm really not, but if I go, I expect something's going to happen. So I expect that this 30-minute talk leaves something different for eternity, for many people, not because of me, but because of the one I serve. You see, when I found Christ, my whole identity changed, which means I have an authority, because I am a co-heir to the throne. I'm a child of God. And because of that, my rights changed. My rights changed. You see, when Paul was put in chains, and they realized they put a Roman citizen in chains, they said, "Oh no, what are we doing? Release him from those chains. You can't put him in chains," because he had rights. And I've got rights. And so I'm coming with the power of God that lives inside of me. I believe the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives in each and every one of us as born-again believers. I believe that. I have seen the miraculous happen, because my God, he is the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be forever. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your love. And Lord, I ask that you'd have your way. Holy Spirit, no flesh, We just want Spirit in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, this would be a church when people walk past, they will fall down like in the Welsh revival, Lord. They will fall down and repent, because repentance, without repentance, there is no revival. Without repentance, there's no true gospel. Lord, let us call sin, sin. But let us love each one. Let us love each person. Let us love them into the kingdom. And true love tells the truth. So let us be a truthful people. Fire of God, have your way in this place today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay. I've got a clock there, haven't I? Is that Helen? Give me the nod. Give me 5 minute nod. When I've got 5 minutes left. Okay. My half hour starts now. I'm joking. It's going to be good. Why? Because there's only one name being preached today, and his name's Jesus. He's the only one I came to. If you leave this place and you remember my name, I don't care. I just want you to leave this place and remember the name of Jesus. It's the only name that matters. It's the only name that matters. I was once lost, and now I'm found, and because of that, I'm so joyful. God formed us. God formed us. Sin, it deformed us. And only Jesus can transform us. You see, God formed us, sin deformed us, Jesus can transform us. I want to give you a couple of verses, then I'm going to just share my story and see where we go. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just. He really is. Proverbs 28:13. It says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. There be Christians in this room today with hidden sin in their heart. My challenge to you is confess it today and move forward. You see, so many people, just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. There is no difference. What makes me a Christian is I'm a follower of Christ. I can go to church all day long and still perish. You see, I say it as it is because true love will tell you the truth. Or I can cuddle you all the way along that long, that wide road that leads to destruction. You see, there's a very narrow road, and that's the road that I'm trying to put people on. That's the road I'm trying to lead them to, should I say. I'm a signpost to that road. Jesus, Holy Spirit, he's the only one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The three, but they're one. Sometimes the church doesn't understand the Trinity, so we leave it alone. If you leave it alone, you don't know the full gospel. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit isn't a force that comes alongside God. Holy Spirit is God. I believe that God is the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be forever. The gifts of the Spirit did not die with the apostles, if anybody thinks that is true. If they did, I don't know what my eyes have been seeing lately. I don't know what my eyes have been seeing lately. I believe without the power of the Holy Spirit, there is no chance for revival. There is no chance for revival. So I usher in Holy Spirit all day long. And I say, Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you. We need you. Without you, we're going nowhere. Without you, we're going nowhere. I went and preached at a church the other week, and they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They believe they died with the apostles. And as I stepped up to preach, I heard God say to me, Aaron, preach on divine healing and deliverance. And I thought, they don't believe that. But I didn't go to please anybody. I go to speak the word of God. And today, I didn't come to make friends. If I do make friends, praise God. Praise God. But if I don't, as long as I share the truth, I've done what I was called for. And when my mission's done, I'm ready to go home. Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. My testimony, growing up as a young child, I never really got on really well at school and within my family life. I used to run away from home an awful lot. And so I would run away from home and I would stop out. And all from my teenage years, I started getting involved in little bits of crime. The first time I stole a car, I was about 15 years of age. I could steal a car before I could drive one. Hence, the first time I stole a car, I crashed it straight into the wall without really getting anywhere. As I shared this story in a local church, there was a lady, and as I was telling this story about this car that I'd stolen when I was 15 years of age and the area that it was in, I could see this lady's face. It was changing. And I thought, what's up with her? She either has had a car stolen lately, or she really doesn't believe a leopard can change its spots. And so I looked at her, and I continued to share this story, and her face continued to go a bit more, I'd say, contorted, but that's probably not the right word. Her face would change some more, and then as it went more, she started to join in the story. And she said, was it a white car? And I said, yeah. She said, was it a Nova? I said, yeah. She said, was it on such and such a street? I said, yes, I'm really sorry I stole your car. And this lady had to learn forgiveness there and then, I think, because she was not very happy, but I forgave her straight away because I thought that was the best thing to do and move on really quickly. You see, I burnt down a church hut before, and then I went to work for the guy whose all his equipment was in the hut. The first job I ever got was after I gave my life to Christ, and I worked on some programs. One was called Guns and Gangs, where I'd go into schools and I would talk about guns and gangs and all that kind of lifestyle. You see, for 8 years, I would have gone in what you'd call it a gang. I'd have lived a gang life. And so in the church, it's now kind of like a hashtag gang mentality. I was a drug dealer for many years. I became addicted to drugs. But in my earlier years, when I first got involved in crime, I was very much doing what I would call petty crime. And I would steal cars and I'd be involved in certain robberies and all sorts of things. I would really think I was a gangster. You know someone that's watched too many gangster films? I think that was me. You know, when you were younger, you'd all have like this whole, I want to be this person. If there's some people in this room that remember Karate Kid. Remember Karate Kid? And he did this move. And then after you watched the film, you went upstairs into your mirror and you did that. I would watch things like Boys in the Hood and Menace to Society. I'd get a plastic gun, go into my mirror, stick it there, and start going like this, like I was driving. I wanted to be a drug dealer when I was young. What you put into you is what comes out of you. So young people and more older people, what we put into us is what comes out of us. So the music today, I don't listen to anything but worship. I renew my mind daily. I don't want to listen to the trash of the enemy because, let's be honest, the enemy has got the music waves on lockdown, I'm telling you. And the only thing I'm interested in is furthering the kingdom of God. And the enemy wants to pollute me all the time, and he wants to pollute you. Young people, be careful what you allow your eyes to see because they are the windows to your soul. Be careful what you allow your ears to listen to. Be careful. Because just as God is after you, he's wanting to bring you into his kingdom. Don't think the devil left you alone. He sent his demonic forces to come and get you also, to drag you away, to drag you off the path that leads to righteousness and righteousness alone. There is a spiritual battle going on. And if our eyes could be open to the spiritual realm, you'd see them fighting for your lives. You'd see them fighting for you. But anyway, I met my wife, Helen, and I was about 18 when me and Helen met, and we had a son very early on. His name's Kyle. He's 16 years of age now, and I think by the time I was 20, I had Kyle as my son. But I still continued with the things that I was doing. I never let them go. It's like I'd be in the pubs and the clubs, and I'd be messing around with drugs. I mean, I remember like this time of the year, England are on, aren't they? And England are doing very, very well. And part of me was wishing, if only I could have gone back to that time when I loved football so much. It was like my God, football was. I loved football so much. We'd be in the pubs, the clubs, we'd be the fan parks, anywhere, football matches, going crazy when England score. And now I'm a pastor of a church and I have to be a little bit more calmer. I wanted to go up Birmingham, uptown, to watch the match. And then we saw Birmingham Broad Street was just cut off with all the England fans. And there were loads of them on top of the buses. And me and Helen was talking and she said, or I said, that's why I can't go uptown. I would be on top of the bus. I know I'd climb up there. I know I would be celebrating on top of the bus. And it would just be all over social network, local pasta, hooligan rants, you know, on top of the bus as England celebrate. But you know what? I'd get on top of the rooftops for Jesus. And I think if anybody in this room is a football fan and celebrates like crazy when England score, imagine the World Cup. Imagine when we get to the World Cup final and we beat France. And all of a sudden, it's coming home. Remember that moment. And I guarantee you'll be jumping around your rooms and screaming and shouting. If I was the pastor of this church, I'd be saying to you, you better come in on Sunday the following week and scream and shout louder for Jesus. Because they worship the footballers on the terraces. But we get into church and all of a sudden we become like Arsenal supporters where it's just silence. Prawn sandwich watchers, they're just silent. You see, in the lower leagues, some of you lot will know about that because of Coventry City. In the lower leagues, when you play away, I bet there's a great atmosphere. But anyway, moving on from the football talk, because there's only one talk. His name's Jesus, young man. Jesus. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And there's no other name, no other name under heaven or on earth that man shall be saved by. No other name. There's one way to the Father. His name's Jesus. No other name. No other religion. There's no mixing of religions. There is no two ways to Christ. There is no two ways to heaven. There is no many roads leads to God. No, one road leads. And it goes through Jesus. And if he's not the one, then it's not the truth. He is the truth. He's the only truth. I know in a few years' time, some of the ways that I speak, some of the things that I say will be classed as hate speech. But it's not, it's just the truth. Because I'll say, Muhammad never died for anybody. Muhammad never saved nobody. Only Jesus saved. Only Jesus saved. You see, I speak it real and I tell it the truth. And you see, God sends over 15 Iranians to our church for me to say, guess what? Muhammad never died for nobody. Jesus died. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. I'll show you the truth. I'll show you the true Jesus, and you won't be able to deny him. You see, a bank manager is only given real notes. He's only given real notes. So then he can see what the fake is. And so I give them the real Jesus, and 15 convert from Islam to Christianity. They get baptized and are walking on with Jesus. Why? Because we shared the truth. Share the true gospel, the people will get saved. Water down the gospel, and you can have yourself a community center. Fill up a community center. Or share the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only gospel I'm interested in. It's the only reason I'd come. If I'd been given, if you come here, Aaron, you can't say this bit or you can't say that bit, I would have had to decline the offer. Or just accepted and said it anyway, whichever one God had said. But you see, my life was running out of control. I was running completely out of control. And me and my wife, she got pregnant with our second child, Megan. And Megan, I'd come to a place in my life when I said, I've got to change. I've got to change the things that I'm doing. I'm going to end up dead or I'm going to end up in prison. It's the only way. I don't want to today go into so many stories of sin, and yet I could just tell you so many stories of sin, but then we wouldn't talk about Jesus enough. We wouldn't talk about the truth enough. And yet, you need to know the transformation side. I was once a wretched sinner. And so when my daughter was born, Megan, I'd said to my wife, I said, look, when she's born, I'm going to change. I've got to change. I can't do life the way that I'm doing it. She's going to change everything for me. I didn't know God. I didn't know God, and my life didn't look like it knew God either. But this little bundle of joy was going to change it all. If you're a dad in the room, You'll know when you have your little girl, little princess is here. It's not that you love little princess more than your son or anything like that. But when little princess is here, you're so protective. You've got to look after your little girl. And so when we had Megan fell poorly really early on. And I remember seeing the doctor walk into the room, well, run into the room basically after my wife had given birth. And he started to massage my daughter's chest. She wasn't crying. Something had gone terribly wrong. And they wheeled my daughter past me quite quick. And I gave her a kiss and I said, "Princess, Daddy loves you. I won't let anything happen to you." She was wheeled down to the Pooley Baby Unit and she was put onto a life support machine. I went outside and I said, "God, if you're real, don't let my daughter die for the things that I've done." I was convinced I was going to get punished. I said, "Don't let my daughter die for the things that I've done." Very shortly after, I got a phone call off the doctor. He said, "Mr. Jarvis, you need to get here straight away." I ran to the Pooley Baby Unit. I was already saying, "God, thank you, thank you. I'll go to church on Sunday. I promise I'll change my life. I'll go to church. Thank you, God, thank you." And as I turned up at the Pooley Baby Unit, as Megan's in intensive care, my wife was there and she was crying at first. I thought tears of happiness. And then I realized they weren't tears of happiness. The doctor came out and he said, "Your daughter's heart rate was 140, but it's dropped all the way to 40. Your daughter's going to die. We need you to turn the life support machine off." We had them turn it off and we watched as my daughter died right there in front of us. And my whole world came crashing down. Our whole world hit rock bottom as the one thing that was going to change my life has now sent me crashing, periling quickly to the bottom of the pit. Quicker than I can say stop. I'm just going down, 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 down. My daughter was put on ice and my wife would have to stay in the hospital with her. And she would cuddle her and warm her up. And then the nurses would come and put my daughter back on the ice. She'd already gone. I went home and destroyed myself some more. I remember being in the hospital room when all of a sudden this vicar comes in. He comes in and he says, "I want to pray for you." And my only thought was, "Get out of here. Don't pray for me." It's my only thought. Don't pray for me. I want my daughter. That's the only thing I want right now. I want my daughter. And my wife allowed him to pray, and I stayed at the bottom of the room, and I looked out the mirror, out the window, and I said, "God, if you're real, I will never serve you. If you're real, God, I'll never serve you. And now I can't live but serve him." You see, he took me to a place called Beautiful. He took me to a place called Beautiful. This wasn't in the preach. He took me to a place called Beautiful. Acts 3. Remember the gate where the cripple was? And he used to sit there every day. Now, for him, it wasn't a very beautiful place. It was a horrible place. He was begging. He was an invalid. He couldn't walk. And as Peter walked past, he looked at him. He had his arms out. Peter looked at him. The crippled beggar thought that he was going to receive some expecting finance and money. And Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus. Get up." And he stood up and he walked. But how did he do that? Because a transformation happened in Peter in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, when everybody was talking and they were saying, "Jesus, is he Elijah? Is he Moses? Who is he? Who is he? John the Baptist come past?" They never said he was Moses. Ignore that. "Is he John the Baptist come past? Who is he?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ." And Jesus said, "Yeah, you're right. My Father revealed that to you." You see, a transformation happened in him. So come Acts 3, he was able to say to a cripple, "Get up and walk. In the name of Jesus, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus. Get up." Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Silver and gold I do not have. Silver and gold I don't have, But what I have, young man, I give you. Get up in the name of Jesus. He's the only way. He's the way. He's the truth and he's the life. And there's no other way to the Father. I've done every part of life. I've done it all. I've had the world. I've had the sexiness of sin. But there's nothing far greater than Jesus. If God would say to me, Aaron, I give you a lifetime of sin or one day in my presence, I'd take one day in his presence all day long. And you know, I wouldn't change my life. I wouldn't change my life. If God said to me, Aaron, you'd have to go through everything you've gone through. Then we could talk about abuse. We could talk about drug addiction. You know, I went on to a 200 pound a day drug addiction. 200 pounds a day of cocaine. I was now selling cocaine. I didn't want to live no more. I tried to take my life. I didn't want to be here. We could talk all that. I can tell you, I hit the bottom. I hit the bottom of the pit. There was no way up. There was no way up. I couldn't see a way. I hit the bottom of the pit. And you see, I'd go through it all again to find Jesus. If Jesus said to me, Aaron, you can have whatever life you want, but you don't know me, or you can go through all that rubbish and find me, I'd go through it again. And you know, one day, I'll meet my daughter again. But you know, the day I go to be with the Lord, you know, the first person I'm going to throw my arms around, it will be Jesus. I throw my arms around him. If I had hair, I'd kiss his feet and wipe away my tears with my hair. I'm going to have to use my ears. I don't have hair. But I'm going to give him the praise. I'm going to give him the glory. And then I'll cuddle that little treasure that is the greatest evangelist I know. Because that one seed dropping to the floor and dying made a lot of other seeds grow. You see, in just under 80 weeks, I saw 70 people come to Christ in Londonderry. 70 people come to Christ, new believers, walking in the church. You know, God has set us apart for a time like this. Do not let him pass over. Do not miss the visitation of Christ. We got to set fires up and down this country. And Coventry must burn for Jesus. It has to burn for Jesus. If you don't believe it, if you don't look like you've received, you know that coin, there's 10 lost coins. When somebody loses that coin, they light a lamp, they sweep the house, they invite the neighbors around. When they find that lost coin, they say, look, my lost coin, I found it. Come and rejoice with me. That's what the angels do. That's what God does for every lost sinner that finds him and says, Jesus, forgive me. And repentance means this. I'm walking in one direction, but now I'm turning in a different one. Repentance doesn't mean tears. Repentance isn't just a sorry. It may have sorry and tears in, but repentance is a heart change, turning from your way of sin and looking unto God. And yes, we make mistakes along the way, but we do not use that freedom as a grace to make mistakes. I walked into a church off my head on drugs. I'd have had to been to walk into church. I still wasn't happy. I was still blaming God. A few years after my daughter's death, I was on a drug deal and I walked into a church. I was attracted by the sound of the worship. And I would turn up on a Sunday and just look outside, glass doors like that. Just glass doors like that. Just listening to the worship. As soon as the man got up to talk, I would leave. Because that bored me, silly. It bored me. That's me being real. Sermons bore me. Not no more, they don't. I love sermons. I can do Leviticus all day long. I love it. You know when you're on fire for God, when you do a 7-week study on Leviticus and you can't spell any of the word, you have to Google every single pronunciation. I love Jesus with all my heart, not because I've won anything in terms of, oh, I can go and preach, I can do this. I've not won loads of riches in terms of financial. I store my riches in heaven. Every time I see someone say, I want to know Jesus, I come alive again. That's me. I come alive when I find people that know Jesus. I come alive when I lead people to the Lord. It's the only time I come alive. I can talk nice and quiet and we can have a little chat and give me a microphone or this Britney Spears thing. And all of a sudden, I'm alive. I'm real. I'm real. I'm who I am. It's not that I'm anything cover. It's just God. If God can take my life, if God can take one of the biggest mess ups I know and turn it around and say, go, I'm going to use one of the foolish things of the world. It was like God just put on a big dirty glove and just put his hand into the depths of hell and just pulled me out and said, yeah, I use you. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. God can use anybody. There is nobody too good to come in here, and there's nobody too bad to stay outside. Everybody's welcome in God's house. Everybody. A little old lady was the one that discipled me and walked alongside me when everybody else may have turned away, worried. This little old lady, she got alongside me and she'd visit me and my wife. I got 5 minutes. She would visit me and my wife. You see, my wife was the first person I led to the Lord. After she saw the difference in my life, I always say this to her when she's, you know, when she's nagging me or starting to have a go at me. I always say, if it wasn't for me, remember the roads. Remember the roads you'd be on. And you see, when she saw the difference in my life, when she saw what God had done, she said, surely God must be real. The first thing that left me was my bad tongue. I used to curse and swear all the time. But you see, this tongue, it can't praise God and curse. It can't do it. It has to do one or the other. Make a choice and choose. If you want to curse, go and curse. If you want to praise God, come and praise God. And you see, God took that cursing tongue away from me. The first thing that he did, he took it away from me. The Bible, the Word of God, there's nothing greater. That became my new drug. It became my new drug. I would read it day and night, 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 day and night. It became my new drug. I was addicted to the Word of God. I said, God, change my drug addiction and give me an addiction to your Word. And it transformed me from the inside out. If you wanna see transformation, get into the Word of God. Without the Word of God, it's like someone not having food. They can't eat. If they don't eat, eventually they starve. Without the Word of God, you starve. Without the Word of God, you starve. And if you get too much of the Word of God without giving out, you just become constipated. So you have to give out as well. I fill up. I don't want to be a constipated Christian. I don't want to be one. As soon as I've got it in, I'm giving it out. I'm giving it out. Many books can inform you, but only the Bible can transform you. Many books can inform you, but only the Bible transforms you. You see, knowledge puffs up, but love, it builds up. The Bible was not given for our information, but for our transformation. The Bible wasn't given for our information, but our transformation. And you see, that is one of the greatest things I've ever had in my hands is the Bible, the Word of God. And too many of yours probably got dust on it, if you like my church. Hopefully you're not. Some of the people in my church, I think, they just prop open the door. They're like a doorstop. Not for me. Jesus Christ, he went to the cross and he died for that word. He gave everything that I may live. And that's the Word of God, and I've got to put it in me. I have to put it in me. I have to put it in me daily. I renew my mind daily. I do not build my day, or I don't build God around my day. I build my day around God. So my time, first of all, the slot is, all right, me and you, God, tonight here. Or me and you, God, in the morning here. Me and you with the Word today. It is not football first, then this, then I'll try and fit God in here. It used to be like that, but I changed it around. I said earlier, salvation is found in no one else. Let me just read it, Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When you were transformed, last bit, I'm wrapping it up, I promise. Last bit, when you are transformed, your identity changed. Your identity changed. I ripped myself a little list to share with you because this is what I shouted at myself. I shouted at myself and I said, Aaron, do you understand? My identity changed. I'm God's child. I am a friend of Christ. I am a citizen of heaven. I'm God's workmanship. I'm a new creation. I'm a minister of God. I'm justified and I'm righteous in His sight. I'm secure in His hand. I am free from condemnation. I am chosen and not forsaken. I am a co-heir with Christ. I am temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm wonderfully made. I'm never alone. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm set apart. I'm washed clean. I am the sword and the light. I am complete in Christ. I am the head and I'm not the tail. You see, in Christ, everything changes. Everything changes in Christ. It has to change. If there's hidden sin in your heart, lay it bare for Him. Get rid. Don't hide it. The greatest thing I ever did was get to my knees and confess, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sin. I'm a rotten sinner. Isaiah says that my greatest works are nothing but filthy rags. If you look at it, it's a used sanitary towel. It's nothing more than a sanitary towel. That's my greatest works. I'm nothing without God. I'm nothing without God. I need Him. And there's a world that is perishing out there that need Him. They need Him. And that's my message up and down wherever I go. There's a world out there that need to know Him. There's a world out there that need to know Him. Freely you've received, now freely give. Freely you've received, now freely give. When I walk into a room, I expect things to change. I expect the spiritual atmosphere to change and everything. Why? Because hear this right before you all shout at me. When I walk into the room, God walks in. When I walk into a room, God walks in. Holy Spirit made His life inside of me. God lives inside of me. When I walk into the room, God walks in. Things change. Not because of Aaron, but because of God, because of the one that saved Aaron. When you walk into a room, things should change. Not because of you, because of the one who saved you, because He made His life inside of you. You see, when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And He gives us the strength and the power and everything else needed to live out this life, because it is not an easy life. Living in the light of eternity changes your priorities. Living in the light of eternity changes your priority. I do this everywhere I go, so I have to do it. You could all be in this room Christians. I don't know. I've never met you. I haven't said to God, God, which one isn't? Which one are we talking to? All I need to do is just, if I leave this place and nobody gives their life to the Lord because you're all Christians, praise God. I pray that you receive some fire today of the Holy Spirit and you go and bring someone next week. You see here, there's two chairs there. You see here, there's chairs there. There's chairs there. Go and bring them in. Bring them in. Put them on the chairs. Put the people on them. Don't leave empty chairs. Don't leave empty chairs. I shout at empty chairs at my church. I do. I shout at them. I went up to one just last week and I said, I hate you. I hate empty chairs. And it's not because I'm interested in numbers. It's because empty chairs, it gives the impression there's no power in the church. But guess what? A lady, I've gone up 2 minutes. A lady, she'd been in a wheelchair. It was an amazing, amazing miracle of God. My God heals today. I know He does. She gave testimony. 9 years she was on walking sticks. Her condition just continued to change and deteriorated. She ended up in a wheelchair for 5 years, the last 5 years, when God spoke to her at a conference and said, step forward, receive your healing. She walked out pushing her wheelchair. People that have known her for the last 15 years, they cannot believe it. Her testimony is flying around. Why? Because my God heals today. In our church at Londonderry, here, I want to tell you this one really quickly. You've got to have the positive and the negative both together. You've got to have it. It's important. A lady came forward in a wheelchair. She looked gray in the face. My wife was there. She looked like she was dying, literally. Her spine was crumbling. Her life was going before her. I stepped forward. I prayed for her during worship. I said, "Do you believe that God can heal?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Stand up then." She looked at her friends and she said, "I can't stand up, my back." I said, "Do you believe God can heal?" She went, "Yes." So I pulled her out of her wheelchair. I don't say do this all the time, but there's a rhema word of God that says go. And so I pulled her out of her wheelchair and she stood there. All of a sudden, she moved forward. Her face changed from gray to life. And she started to dance. She started to dance. She was rejoicing. She went and told her whole family. She pushed the wheelchair out of church. As she walked away, God spoke to me and he said, "Aaron, tell her exactly like Jesus said, go and sin no more." As she walked away, I said, "Whoa, go and sin no more." And she looked back at me. She smiled, waving away. I don't think she took the word serious. I was serious. Go and sin no more. Jesus says, if you continue to sin, you may end up in a worse condition. She was healed. A few months, absolutely fine. Telling everybody the story. She's going to get the doctor's reports and everything before I'd publish it. I said, I want the certificates, everything first. She said, I'm going to get them. The following week, she came to church to be prayed for in the same place. I prayed for her. I walked away. As I walked away, about 5-10 minutes later, I found her on the floor. She completely dropped down. Nobody was around her. She just dropped down. She ended up in hospital that night in a worse condition. And God said she didn't leave a life of sin. She did not leave a life of sin. My God heals today. My God is calling us to repentance today. But he's also not only that loving God, and he is a loving God, but he's also a God that brings judgment. He's also a God that at the end demands that his people will repent and turn. If there's hidden sin in your life, I call you to repent and turn. If there is anybody in this room that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and today they say, "I want to know this Jesus that you talk about. I want to know this Jesus." You see, God is holy and we are not. And so there's sin in the middle. Jesus came, took all that sin, placed it on his back, climbed up on the tree and died for each and every one of us. For all of us that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then we are in transformation. We're not transformed overnight in terms of our lifestyle completely. We're in transformation, but Holy Spirit comes and makes his life inside of you, and the transformation begins. If there is anybody in this room that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, could I just ask that every head is bowed and every eye closed just at this moment? Just because it's... I just want to give everybody the opportunity. I don't want embarrassment or anything like that. You know what? Jesus wasn't embarrassed when he was put up on the cross naked and dying for us. But this world today seems to be embarrassed over little things. But we're going to get through that. We'll get through that. Don't you worry about that. If there is anybody in this room today that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and is saying, "I want to give my life to the Lord," or they've walked away from God and they need to come back, if there is anybody, I just ask that you'd raise your hand. I ask you to raise your hand that I may be able to tell your pastor after so he will be able to pray with you. That's all it is. If there's anybody in this room, I just give you an opportunity right now to raise your hand. Okay. Lord, we pray, we thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you, Jesus. I pray every seed sown today that you would bring it to completion in the name of Jesus. And Father, where fires start, let them rage. Father, I pray this place, this church, will be a lifeboat. I pray, Lord, when people walk past this place, they would fall down under the weighty presence of Holy Spirit. They'll be drawn in because of what you are doing in this place. I pray, Lord, for favor and an anointing upon the members and the worshipers at this place. And Lord, when they invite their friends and their family, you give them extra favor as they bring them in. I pray, Lord, within a few weeks, there's not enough room in this place. Let your fire spread, Lord, we pray. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.